Next up, Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat is hosted by Sally Mock and features Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporter Holly Michaels and University of Montana political science professor and Mansfield Center fellow Rob Saldine. Here's Sally.
Holly, the COVID-19 pandemic is already impacting this campaign season, and this week, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mike Cooney announced he's postponing a statewide tour, and his Democratic competitor Whitney Williams also suspended all campaign events for the month of March. And this pandemic is just having a major impact on the campaigns in Montana and, I assume, around the country.
Yeah, we're really starting to see candidates take notice of just, you know, closures around and following, you know, deciding to postpone things with their own campaign. We also saw Kathleen Williams, who's running for the U.S. House. She said today that she's going to postpone all events for now. And so is Rafe Grable, a Democrat running for Attorney General. We also saw, I think, pretty interesting, the Butte St. Patrick's Day parade just Friday morning announced that that was going to be canceled this year. And that's always a pretty busy event for candidates in a big election year to go down and shake hands with a lot of voters. So probably a smart move to be calling that off this year.
Rob, it seems to me that this will make campaign advertising and debates all the more influential, given that there are going to be all these retail politicking events canceled.
Yeah, probably, Sally. I mean, that's what we're left with. I think a lot of things are up in the air. You know, I noticed just here recently, Louisiana has pushed back its primary date. And so we'll have to wait and see how bad this thing is, how long it lasts. But one little glass is half full point, we might have larger audiences for some of these debates.
Well, Rob, as we foretold last week, Governor Steve Bullock has entered the Senate race, and that prompted a lot of other dominoes to fall. Most notably, four of the five other Democrats in the race dropped out and endorsed Bullock. But one, Democrat John Muse, is still in, even though the odds are definitely stacked against him.
Yeah, to put it mildly. I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week. I mean, this has to be really frustrating for these other candidates who took on face value that Steve Bullock, you know, wasn't going to run and made their plans around that. That said, yeah, he doesn't have a chance, and certainly not a realistic one, and probably make more sense to join the others in rallying behind the obvious candidate at this point.
When Governor Bullock announced, I was struck by what his wife Lisa said on that announcement day about campaigns.
Campaigns are hard on families. I think it's been hard in the last three for our children to witness what has been published and what has been said about their father.
And that's an insight that we don't often get into the toll that campaigns can take on families, because the candidate is attacked by the other side, sometimes in ways that are less than civil even. And there's no reason to think this campaign will be any easier on the Bullock family.
Yeah, for sure. You know, running for and serving in public office can be tough. And it's often a big question for candidates whether they want to subject their families to all that a high-profile run for office entails. And I actually think in the case of the Bullocks, there's good reason to think that this campaign might well be tougher than anything they've had to face so far, just because it's likely to be in the national spotlight. And that's not really something that Steve Bullock and his family have had to grapple with in previous runs, including his presidential, simply because he never broke into that top tier of candidates. So it's totally a legitimate thing that candidates and their families have to worry about. You know, I'd also note, just here in a little bit of a broader, more general sense, this whole dynamic is definitely something I worry about a little bit. You know, we want good people to run for office, and there's a reason to be concerned that the bitterness of campaigns and the kind of increasingly anything-goes nature of campaigns in terms of what is off-limits and some of the norms breaking down around that, I do worry that some good public-spirited people will make a different choice than Steve Bullock did in this case and choose not to run for exactly the reasons that they don't want to put their families through this kind of thing. The toll it takes is too high. The price is too high.
I'm sure some have already made that decision.
For sure.
Senator Steve Daines wasted no time getting an ad on the air in the wake of the Bullock announcement.
Montana is a special place to live and raise a family. But now more than ever, we must remain vigilant in defending our freedom and our Montana values. And that's why I'm fighting back against radical plans like Medicare for All, the Green New Deal, and open borders. We can't allow the liberals in Washington to turn America into a socialist country.
And that socialist fear-mongering, Rob, will, I suspect, be part of every Republican campaign across the country.
Yeah, I think the marching orders have gone out. And it's a reminder, especially here, that the framing of this election is going to be very important. You know, big picture, it seems to me, Democrats can still win statewide in Montana, but their model seems to be to make these elections about Montana, about who's one of us, about who embodies Montana values and culture, and to keep the national stuff at arm's length, keep the national party at arm's length, try to minimize considerations like, you know, which party is going to control the Senate chamber. Now, Republicans, I think, can play on that turf, too, but they'd much rather duke it out, as we see here in this Danes ad, over those national issues like the Green New Deal and immigration, and to make this a referendum on the people who are visually depicted in this ad, Bernie Sanders, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, right? They'd like to run this campaign on the question of, you know, do you really want to empower the Chuck Schumers and the Pelosis and their crazy band of coastal socialists, right? If Republicans are successful in fighting this campaign on that turf, which is what this ad from Danes is trying to do, you know, that's a significant advantage to Steve Danes.
Healthcare is going to be a huge issue in all the campaigns, I think. And Holly, a PAC called Protect Our Care also has a new ad out, and this one attacks Senator Danes for his votes to repeal Obamacare.
Too many Montana families go to sleep at night worried about health care, coverage, costs, now the fear of coronavirus. That doesn't worry Steve Danes. He voted to eliminate protections for 425,000 Montanans with pre-existing conditions, rip coverage away from over 100,000 people, and scrap Montana's Medicaid expansion, and let insurance and drug companies drive up health care and prescription drug costs for seniors.
It's interesting, Holly, that this ad mentions the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's something that the group that put it out called Protect Our Care, which you mentioned, they got some feedback pretty quickly from Danes' campaign, critical of them, and, you know, criticizing Danes also through this criticism toward Bullock's campaign for capitalizing on a pandemic to make some election points. I think another thing, we saw Danes' campaign be, you know, pretty quick in there pointing out that this ad, the Protect Our Care group, is under a larger group called the 1630 Fund, which is a 501c4 organization, which we hear those called dark money groups, where they don't have to disclose their donors that they get money from to do these types of ad buys. And, you know, Governor Bullock has been pretty vocal in his opposition to dark money. He's done a lot at the state level to get it out of state politics and made a lot of it, you know, a big point of that during his presidential run. He was asked, Bullock was, when he announced his Senate campaign, how he would sort of balance that issue of, you know, being very opposed to dark money in politics, but also living in a world where that's just part of the game. And he was pretty frank in that, you know, he would like to accomplish a lot of things if elected to the Senate, but acknowledging that, you know, this is the playing field all the candidates are on right now. So I think it's interesting, you know, to make those points about Danes' record as we're dealing with this coronavirus issue, but also a little bit of a dark money battle going back and forth there as well.
There are a bunch of Green Party candidates who have filed for all the major races, Holly, but the Green Party in Montana has disavowed every one of them.
Yeah, when there was that effort, which we've talked about before, to qualify the Green Party for the ballot, which was successful, we still don't know who was behind that, the Green Party came out on their Facebook page and made a pretty strong statement, making very clear that they weren't doing that effort, and they also didn't have any plans to put up candidates this cycle. But we did see on Monday at the filing deadline, you know, jumping into all those big races. There's even a Green Party primary in the U.S. Senate race. Another Green Party candidate we saw jump in on the filing deadline is Gary Marbit, who is from Missoula. He's running for Senate district there. He's actually run as a Republican for the state legislature before and is president of the Montana Shooting Sports Association. He sent out an email to people on his Shooting Sports Association email list, sort of explaining that, you know, he's running as a Green, but in trying to highlight, you know, his background of saying he'd built a really environmentally sustainable house. But, you know, he is head of the Shooting Sports Association, and that would be pretty in conflict with the Green Party platform. So just kind of interesting where some of those people are falling in those races and understanding that the Green Party's not saying that those are their candidates.
Rob, the Republican chairman of the State Public Service Commission, Brad Johnson, has filed to run for his old job, Secretary of State, and he joins five other Republicans in that primary.
Yeah, it's crowded, Sally. You know, that's a coveted spot just because it's a statewide position. It's on the land board. It also is one of those stepping stones to running for something even higher up. So natural to have a crowded field in there, I think, especially in a year where Republicans are optimistic that they're going to do well.
Johnson denies that his candidacy for Secretary of State has anything to do with the bad blood among the five current public service commissioners. It seems to me that their war, even going so far as to publish one of the commissioners, Roger Koopman's private emails.
Maybe one thing just to say at the beginning, a lot of Montanans, I think, are pretty hazy on what the Public Service Commission is and what it does. So basically, the PSC regulates the state's private utilities, and that work is very important, even if it doesn't always get a lot of attention. Among other things, the PSC is the regulatory body that oversees Montana's largest utility monopoly, which is the coal-fueled power plants out in Colstrip. So you're right. So currently all five members of the board are Republicans, and that just makes some of the recent news all the more bizarre. So it seems as though tensions had been rising within the board over the course of maybe a couple years. And during that time, one board member, Roger Koopman, had been increasingly at odds with the rest of the board over a number of things, but especially over what he considered to be too cozy of a relationship between the PSC and Northwestern Energy. Well, in recent weeks, it came to light that three board members seem to have been spying on Koopman and gained access to his emails, and that a bunch of Koopman's emails then got posted to this right-wing website. And some of those contained personal information and other things that obviously Koopman didn't want to get out there. There have been allegations of intimidation on the part of Koopman. It's basically been a mess, and it seems as though the PSC has been embroiled in chaos for a long time and is more or less dysfunctional at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, three of the PSC seats are up for grabs, and the outcome of those elections could have major ramifications for Montana's energy future.
Right. And again, I mean, this is stuff that sometimes flies under the radar, but the regulations on the utility industry is a big thing. And we did see that flare up a little bit in the last legislative session over Colstrip, but PSC is a major, major player in all of that.
There is so much that is unpredictable in this election season, not the least of which is the impact of the pandemic, which we opened the show talking about, and I'm sure we'll be talking about that again. We'll try to keep up. Holly and Rob, thanks, and I'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, Sally.
Thanks, Sally.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program produced by Montana Public Radio. Campaign Beat features University of Montana political science professor and Mansfield Center fellow Rob Saldin and Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporter Holly Michaels, and host Sally Mock. Join us next week for more analysis of Montana politics.